A Fagree Drinker Podcast.
Good morning. This is Chris Petillo. I'm a member of the Fagree Drinker Biddle and Reese long-term care insurance practice group. Part of the leadership of that group, along with Steve Surface, Nolan Tully, Steve Brogan, Jessica Losing, and Sandy Jones. I'm here today with Margie Berry. Very lucky to be here today with Margie Berry. Very well-known, very prominent broker in the space. We're recording this podcast on October 28th, just a few days before November 1st. And normally, we'd be talking about this because it would be the first day of Long-Term Care Insurance Awareness Month. But if you've been following the news out of Washington State, you know this date has taken on a whole new significance in the LTC space. Before I talk about that, and before I formally introduce Margie, I want to reiterate just some quick words from Steve Surface, our practice group leader, that he gave at our conference last week in Chicago. And I want to posit, like he did, that it's a really exciting time for long-term care insurance. There's a real focus at the NAIC executive level, particularly on the new rate increase framework. All of that work is in part driven by the recent insolvencies and rehabs going on, particularly in my home state of Pennsylvania. There's real growth in the hybrid insurance market. And for those of you who don't know, that's life and annuity products with some kind of LTC rider or other benefit coverage from an accelerated death benefit. There's a significant amount of innovation. Perhaps most importantly, there's new thinking about the relationship between the insurer and the insured, and when it makes sense to reach out to the insured. Does it make sense to talk to them before they go on claim? Does it make sense to provide wellness initiatives? And if so, which ones? And what will they do to the claims that the industry has seen over the years? And our topic for today, Washington Cares, which for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure many of you do, it's the first of its kind public option for long-term care insurance and something that Margie and I are particularly interested in and been particularly focused on over the last 6 months. And I'll let Margie talk about her experience, but I think she'll have a lot of interesting things to say about what it was like to be a broker in the long-term care insurance space. So for those of you who don't know Margie, she is the, in my view, expert in the broker community on long-term care insurance issues. She broke the glass ceiling years ago and has been in the space since 1990 as an agent. She's been voted the industry's top 10 power people by Senior Market Advisor magazine, top 25 most creative people by Life Health Pro. She's the co-founder of the Executive Study Council, a group of 20 women leaders in the LTC industry. She has published ad nauseum throughout the industry on innumerable topics, including this one, including COVID, including Medicare, and all of the really interesting issues that the industry has faced over the last 30 years. And she's presently a long-term care planning specialist with ACSIA Partners, the largest long-term care planning agency in the country. And so, Margie, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today and having this really, really interesting conversation.
Oh, Chris, I feel honored to join you, and I'm really excited about all the ideas that we talked about, which we'll be sharing in a few minutes.
Thanks, Margie. So before we hear from Margie, I know that's why all of you folks are tuned in, so I'll be quick. I did want to talk a little bit about what is the Washington Public LTCI option, which is known affectionately as Washington Cares. And so let me just quickly hit the high notes here. But before I do, I just want to mention and I want to recognize how hard it is to make new legislation, especially when we're talking about health insurance or health insurance light, as I like to think of LTC. You know, we all saw how the country reacted to the ACA and how much it dominated the health insurance discourse since its adoption. And so I want to recognize that some of what we may say might sound critical, but it really comes from a sympathetic place from the insurer and broker community after the last 6 to 8 months. And at the same time, I want to acknowledge that it's really hard to be bold, especially hard to be first. We don't know how the Washington experiment will turn out, but I just wanted to applaud the efforts of the folks in Washington to address the aging problem in America and the problem in that state in particular. So what is Washington Cares? Let's just hit the high notes here. It is a long-term care insurance benefit in the amount, annual amount of $36,500. It is triggered when someone needs assistance with three ADLs as opposed to the two that we're all accustomed to hearing. And in addition to the six normal ADLs that we often see as triggers, the Washington CARES will provide coverage for medical management, hygiene assistance, certain cognitive functions, and assistance with body care. I want to talk a little bit about how it's going to be paid for. So it is a 58 cent tax on every $100 made. It will be applied by employers through payroll. There's no cap on income. So if you make $100,000, you're going to pay around $600 a year. If you make $200,000, $1,200 a year, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the interesting things about this legislation and something we'll be talking a lot about today is the exemption. So Washington has a one-time exemption that as of November 1st, and you heard me say that earlier today, as of November 1st, you will need to have purchased, that is not defined in the legislation, qualified long-term care insurance coverage. We know that's not a chronic illness rider. So if you bought a hybrid product with a chronic illness rider, that's not what they're talking about. We're talking about actual LTC coverage, either standalone or a hybrid product with a rider. That exemption would be able to be sought through next year, December 31st, 2022. But again, the coverage would need to have been purchased by November 1st. It's a one-time opt-out. So if you're 16 years old, sitting at home wondering, why would I bother going getting an exemption? One, you probably can't because there's no available coverage. But two, you wouldn't, absent any change in legislation, be able to do anything about that. And that's the same for a 25-year-old who generally can't get long-term care insurance coverage and quite frankly, probably wouldn't be thinking about doing so at that time anyway. And so, Margie, now that we've gone through a little bit of the high notes, why is Washington State doing this?
Interesting question. So let's take a step back and start with the bigger picture here. We all know that Americans are aging. Okay, no question about that. So I want to share three significant projections, and these are national numbers, so just be aware. So projection number one, the number of Americans who are age 65 and over is expected to increase from 35 million in the year 2000 to an estimated 71 million in 2030. That's doubling. Okay, so that's projection one. Then we have projection two, and that is by 2029, there's going to be 14.4 million middle-income seniors, and 60% are going to have mobility issues, and 20% are going to have really serious high health needs and functional needs. Okay, and then we get to projection three, and this is the huge one. 54% of these seniors are not going to have the financial resources to pay for the needed care. Either they didn't have sufficient incomes in the first place, or they haven't done astute financial planning or whatever. So that means that they're going to be dependent on Medicaid or welfare to pay these expenses. Now, Medicaid is funded at two levels. You have the federal funding, but you also have the state funding. And so the huge problem for state governments is how are they going to pay for this incredibly large approaching financial burden? How are they going to meet this obligation? So the answer, and it was devised by Washington State and certainly is a unique situation, was to introduce this payroll tax to generate these needed funds, or they call it the Washington CARES Act. Now, it's really interesting. Okay. And you mentioned, Chris, that the deadline is this coming weekend. But Washington is definitely not alone in this situation. I mean, every state is going to be impacted. Maybe Washington was a little bit unusual because it doesn't have a state income tax. But even if a state does have an income tax, these numbers that we're talking about are huge. So we're seeing a significant number of states saying, hey, this was really a good idea, and let's figure on doing the same thing. So 30% of the states are already considering a program. That's 12 states. So here's the list so far. Next is California, which is huge. Then we have Oregon, Hawaii, Michigan, Alaska, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Colorado, New York, North Carolina, and Utah. And my feeling is that is just the beginning. So that's the significance of not only the Washington State situation, but how it's playing out across the country.
Really, really great information, Margie. Really stark figures on the projections. And for folks that are listening, these are things that the Washington legislature really considered. You can go to the Washington law and see its, you know, their findings. 50B.04.900 of the Washington Code goes through a host of their findings, including that LTC expenditures are 6% of the state budget, expected to be 12% in 2030. There's almost a million caregivers in the state providing $11 billion of care that's not paid. And that number is expected to balloon over the years at the same time that there's a significant decrease in the availability of caregivers. So really, really interesting stuff. And insofar as the other states that are considering this program, you know, I think California is next as we hear it, as Margie noted. There's an expectation that there might be something on the books as soon as 2023. And each of the states that are being considering this issue are at various stages now. So I want to switch back a little bit to the Washington experience, Margie. Can you just tell us what it's been like over the last, let's say, 6 months or so to be an agent in the long-term care insurance community?
To put it mildly, it has not been fun. Usually, I run about 12 appointments a week with clients, and that's certainly manageable. It keeps me really busy. For Washington State, I was doing 66 appointments a week. 66. Morning and night, Saturday and Sunday. And now I'm at the situation, particularly with one carrier, where I wrote 50 applications, and I now have 50 problems to deal with. So I submitted something at a preferred rate, which was sort of a middle of the road rate, and then it came back as preferred plus, and then I need to do more paperwork, and you go to the website to get the information, and I have a person supporting me, researching this and sending me the information. Even last night, we had a client who had to go, we sent him to his doctor because the medical authorization, it wasn't done in time, and the carrier keeps saying, we can't approve them, we can't approve them, we need the medical information. So I actually yesterday sent the client to the doctors, he got the information, he emailed it to me last night, and we relayed it last night around 9 o'clock at night. So meeting this deadline it's just been crazy.
Margie, is there anything different about the folks who are signing up for long-term care insurance over the last 6 months in Washington compared to your usual clientele?
Yes, it's very different. First of all, to tell you how I usually work, I first educate a client and then we talk about hybrids versus traditional. And maybe my first appointment with them is an hour and a half. And then I have a second appointment and maybe even a third appointment. So it's a pretty research-oriented, very thorough analytical approach. Okay, so that's usual. Washington State, first of all, a lot of people are really angry that they need to do this. A lot of them are young. They have no intention of even thinking about long-term care, but now they're being forced to. Their opening welcome is, hey, I know I need to do this. Give me the cheapest to get out of it. Also, with one of the carriers, it was a life insurance combined with long-term care. It's not really a hybrid. It's a little bit different. Well, we all got it down, and we have agent calls several times a week. We got it down to 16 minutes an appointment, and then you can enroll the person. So it was an easier product, but it's basically been insane, really. I mean, it's totally different than anything I've ever experienced. everybody feels the same way. We're hoping that a lot of the business stays on the books. I've had some drop off already. One person said, well, I can't get my medical records in time and I'm just going to do the tax. Or if people are older and you have to have paid in for a certain period of time, it doesn't make sense for them to even do this. Or if they're planning to leave Washington State in a short period of time, you know, that's another factor, because these policies, the Washington Cares policies, are only good in Washington State. So it's certainly been interesting. Usually I have very few policies, what we call fall off the books, very few. With this, I really have no idea. I'm afraid to even see what the numbers are going to look like. But people are angry about it. They really are. And so that hasn't been pleasant either.
And you touched upon a couple things. One being that when we talked about the exemption being a one-time exemption, it also, the exemption does not require folks, at least right now, to keep their policies. They just need to apply for the exemption. And then once they apply and they can demonstrate that they have coverage bound qualifies, they don't need to keep it. And so I think one of the things that, you know, we're hearing from our insurer clients, and one of the things that Margie touched on, is that, you know, we really don't know what the persistency of these products are going to be. Is it going to be similar to the 1 or 2% lapse rates that we've seen over the years? I suspect not, right? I think that's one of the things that's really, really interesting about this experience, and interesting to see what other states do with whether they even have an exemption, and if they do, how it's structured.
Actually, Chris, and here's an interesting update. One of the work sites that I was working on was with the city of Tacoma. And so two people in the city who are clients, who, I mean, were lovely to work with, they said that they've heard from the state government that they are going to put in something where they're going to be checking probably every year or every 2 years to make sure that people keep those policies. So there is going to be some kind of check system. We're also hearing that they could even be increasing the amount of the tax. So I think that Washington started with some good concepts, good ideas, and now they're realizing where they need to modify the legislation, and we hear that's going to be happening.
And I hope they do it in a way that folks are able to reconsider their decision, only because it's, you know, if you're going to make the decision on whether you're going to accept the tax or whether you're going to go out to the private market, you know, I think, and it's a one-time decision, you know, it's one calculus if it's based on a 58-cent tax. It's another if it's based on, you know, 64 or 75 or whatever it may be. And it's also another calculus if, you know, you're going to have to keep the coverage, right? If you're going to have to keep the long-term care insurance coverage, the math problem is a lot different. So I suspect they're thinking about all these things, a lot of really interesting issues. We talked a little bit about the broker space. What are you hearing from carriers on sort of their experience?
Well, for example, one carrier said that they usually get several hundred applications from Washington State in a year. And in a several week period, they received almost 13,000 applications.
Wow.
Which they're having trouble processing. I know that within a short period of time, maybe well, I did 50 of one carrier and maybe 40 of another, and then maybe 30 or 40 of another. I mean, in a very short period of time. So the numbers are astounding. It'll be interesting to see how the carriers feel as other states roll it out, what they want to do.
Totally. And just to provide another insight into one of our carrier clients who reported that, you know, prior to Washington Cares, they only had 5 to 10 apps a week, mostly, if not all, standalone business. And then, you know, they've gone up to 100 a week earlier this year to the peak of 1,000 a week, which is just, you know, an incredible amount of increase for folks and for their underwriting departments. And so what we saw in the industry across the board, right, Margie, is folks changing eligibility requirements to reflect the fact that a lot of these folks just wanted lower coverage, stopping sales in some instances because of the volume and the desire to wanting to make sure that these folks whose applications were in to try to finish them in a timely manner. And if you just look at sort of the makeup of this, one might say, well, that's great. It's more business for the carriers, but the amount of new business and the value of that new business is really unclear at this point, because for the carrier I just spoke of, the Washington business is something like 25% of their new business in 2021. But as far as premiums are concerned, it's only 12%. So really reflects that folks are seeking low value coverage, just trying to get the exemption. And then ultimately what is expected is that a lot of these folks are going to drop. And so that's a lot of administrative cost that are sunk. And really, you know, for an industry that's facing a lot of issues and really doesn't have that many folks in the market as it is.
I sort of wonder if they're going to drop it. If Washington introduces stricter requirements where they're going to be auditing this, and that's what we're hearing, then I'm not so sure that people are going to be dropping it. And also, as people's salaries increase, their tax is going to increase. So I don't know. I guess that remains to be seen. But I think that if they audit it, that we're not going to see that drop-off rate. And we'll see what happens. But meanwhile, more than 200,000 people have applied for exemption from the Washington tax. So, you know, and it's sort of interesting because that means that Washington is missing out on a lot of revenue that they needed. Okay, so they did this one-time offer, and if you took a long-term care policy, you could opt out. But then what's going to happen to new people coming into the workforce, younger people, whatever? They're not going to have that opportunity. I was on a call the other day, and one of the comments was made that maybe with other states, that they might require a policy purchase date to be done prior to the governor even signing a bill into state law. So there's a lot of flexibility in what other states could be doing. And it certainly will be interesting to be on the front lines and watching it.
Well, you really touch on a lot of points, Margie, and a lot of things that we've talked about over the last couple of months in both preparing for this podcast, but also, and I hope people can tell this that are listening, we're very interested to see how all of these states develop. Really interested to see what the Washington business looks like in 2022 and 2023. And so, Margie, I'd like to turn it to you to sort of discuss what we have in the works for the future.
Okay. Chris and I have come up with which we think is a really interesting idea. We're calling it the Crystal Ball Project. And basically, the two of us are very fortunate to be well positioned in the long-term care insurance industry. And so really, we both have a front row seat, so we can stay on top of what's happening concerning this new development, which is certainly a dramatic change. So Chris and I are going to be working together to do what we're calling this Crystal Ball Project. It means we're going to be monitoring the spread of this type of legislation to other states, how they're structuring the rollout, other requirements. It means we're going to be monitoring the impact on the insurance companies and certainly on the agents. So we're still in the planning stages, but we're already lining up great resources and other industry leaders to join us and to help us with this. We are planning to share our findings, probably with some more podcasts, maybe magazine articles, certainly my column, LTCI Insider, which appears in Think Advisor, probably a white paper. So I got to tell you, it's definitely an exciting and really unusual time in our industry. And we want to make sure that all of you, those who are listening to this podcast, are going to stay informed and join us on a front row seat to all the changes that will be occurring. So that's what we have in mind.
I couldn't have said it better, Margie, and I would be remiss without saying that I could not be more pleased to be working on this with you and really excited for our endeavors over the next few months and maybe longer and hopefully longer. And most importantly, thank you so much for joining me today for this conversation. And thank you, everyone else, for listening. We had a great time. I hope you did, too.
Thank you for listening to a Faegre Drinker podcast.